The character of Christ. Wow. How many know that character counts? Character counts. Becoming more Christ-like. How many want to do that? How many want to become more like Jesus? Only half of you this morning. Oh, boy. See, I knew I was at the wrong place today. No, just teasing. Just teasing. Just teasing. You know, isn't it so beautiful, the presence of the Lord? There's just a spirit of expectancy and anticipation. And Sonia, man, I'll tell you what. What a beautiful, beautiful job you do week after week. Bring us into the presence of the Lord. Obviously, it's not just Sonia, but it's the team that works so diligently. But Sonia's the leader. And, you know, got your boys up here. Isn't that special? Isn't that something? That is so neat. Third, fourth generation, right? Yeah, that's what we're talking. We're talking about family, if you haven't guessed. And you know how important it is for family, especially at Thanksgiving time. Isn't this wonderful time of the year? It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, and you either love it or you hate it, because I know that there's some people that just can't stand getting with the family this week on Thursday. I hope that's not the case here. Of course, that's not the case here, right? That's not the case here, right? Okay, that's right. That's good. We're making progress this morning. But it's so wonderful when we can come in the presence of the Lord and understand that we're a family. This is a family. You know what? We've turned a corner here at Grace Ministries. Amen. And we are moving in the positive. We're moving in the direction that God wants us to be in. And you know what? Obviously, the enemy doesn't like it, but you know what? It's all right, because we're moving on, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. There is no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper. And as we continue to stand upon the integrity and the infallibility of the Word of God, I'm telling you what, nothing can come against us. And you know what? I love that so much when we do our Bible pledge, because that is so true. The Word of God is infallible. It is inerrant. There's no errors in it. It is what we base our life on. It contains all truth. All the answers to all social ills and problems in this world are found in God's Word. We can rely on it. We can count on it. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you, closer than a brother. So we need to understand that we need to give ourselves fully to the Word. And I've got to get going, because I've got a lot of information that we have today. Just a little preview. Obviously, we're in this series, Leaving a Legacy of Faith. We talked, and this is our third teaching in this. So if you're new today, I think that you can get the other teachings, correct? Okay. So we're doing a series on the family, and it's Leaving a Legacy of Faith. So important. We're talking about the four essentials of this, but I wanted you to understand also that the four essentials we've talked about, obviously, developing this biblical worldview, right? How important is it that we have this biblical worldview? If you remember a couple of weeks back, we said that 83% of all the United States calls themselves a Christian, and only 9% of the 83% have a Christian biblical worldview, meaning that they know that where did we come from? Is there a God? You know, all the questions that we have as far as found in God's Word. Only 9% of all of these Christians have a biblical worldview. And if you remember, we talked a little bit about sometimes you'll know where people stand because they might say this, that, you know, we're all God's children. Have you ever heard of that? We're not all God's children. We're all created. God created all of us, but we're not all God's children. Only when you trust in Christ, Only when you repent of your sins and you fall on your face and say, God, I need your help in my life. Come into my life. That is only when you can become a child of God. So you can understand when you talk to people, you'll pick up on things as they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I believe you can do this, you can do that. And I'm not talking legalism here this morning. I'm talking about there are scriptures that guide us and direct us. And you know, we're facing a real sin-sick society. When it's, you can't even say that homosexuality is a sin anymore because you're not politically correct. It is embarrassing. There's churches today that are marrying men and men and women and endorsing and ordaining men and women of God to be the pastors of churches and congregations. This is moral relativism. This is not God's word. God's word. Now, do we love the homosexual? Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely we do. And it's for this reason why God has placed us here, to love people and to see people come in to the understanding of the word of truth. And obviously, you know, we said this, that our country, our state, our county, our cities, our churches are only as strong as the single family unit, the individual family unit, one man, one woman, family. And so you can see, we went through all kinds of statistics to see where the moral decay in our nation has gone and where we are at as a nation today. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to shake us and awake us to righteousness so that we can live the way He wants us to live and be happy and to have joy and have peace and have a purpose in life. And that's why we're here today. We're here to glean more about God's word. Obviously, here, let me just start this whole area about we talked about the three generations also, where Grandma Lois, remember, had Mother Eunice that had the son Timothy. We talked about that there is a tradition of going from generation to generation to generation, of passing down this legacy of faith to generation. And we've lost a lot of ground in the past years. But you know what? We can regain that ground because it's never done until you echo your or you breathe your final breath, right? There's always hope. I believe that sincerely. I remember ministering to someone who was this far from the Lord, and I heard at their deathbed, Jesus, forgive me. Until there's breath, the last breath in your body, there's hope for everyone, all people on the face of the earth, they could call upon the name of the Lord. All right, so here we go. We start this off here. I've read this, and I could be somewhat wrong on this, but I did read this, and I heard somebody even talk about this. Let's say that you start, you fly from Detroit, and you're going to fly to L.A., all right? And you are off 1 degree in your flight pattern going to L.A. They said that by the end of your trip, you will land in San Francisco. Isn't that something? By 1 degree off, you will be hundreds, if not 1,000-plus miles. Uh-oh, are we lost? Okay, all right. Are we, you know, you'll be 1,000 of miles off course if you start from Detroit to go to L.A., you'll end up if 1 degree off. So likewise, spiritually, do you think that if you are 1 degree off in your journey of faith, 1 degree off, are you going to end at the desired location that you want to go? Well, maybe, maybe not. So you got to understand, that's why it's so important that we understand that we need to develop this the understanding of God's word and live by God's word and believe God's word. Character. don't know if we got it up there. Here's the definition of character. We're talking about that character counts. Character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual pertaining to the nature and reputation of a person. Let me read that one more time. That's a mouthful. Character is, and this is one definition, because you know you're a character, you know, like that. But this, that's not what we're talking about. Character, the one that really makes up who we are. It's the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual pertaining to the nature and reputation of a person. Isn't it interesting, even as I'm preparing the sermon this week, that who do we have in the headlines? We have Al Franken, right? He was the senator from Minnesota. And then we have Judge Roy Moore from Alabama, who is running for Senate. And we see some moral cracks in their character, and we're seeing some development there that is widespread. Very interesting to note as well, too. This week, I was with a community leader. And this particular community leader, when I'm with him, and when he's in a spiritual setting, man, this guy shines like the brightest star that you'd ever want to see. He can talk the talk, and man, I believe every word that he says. I'm with him, and I'm fighting for him. But when I see him in the marketplace, outside of the ranks of the church, I see another individual. I see one who has language that is worse than a sailor. I have been in the situation with this leader probably about four different settings on professional work outside of the religious realm. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but it grates on me. I see that and I smell something. I smell something like hypocrisy. And this past 2 weeks ago, I encountered him again. And he came and said, "Hey, come here." And I thought, okay, I'm going to come over there. So he kind of opened up a door for me. And I must say, I had to repent because I didn't really act very godly or Christ-like. I kind of blew up and I raised my voice. And I said, "I don't operate the way you operate." And I began to tell him some things that I see in his life, blah, blah, blah. And he said, "Oh, what are you talking about?" And I just walked away. That probably wasn't the best thing for me to do. And obviously, because the Holy Spirit was working on me, because, you know, later next week, I gave him a call and I said, "You know what? Could we meet for lunch?" So I met him for lunch this past week, just this past week. And I prayed, man. My wife said, "Oh, Tom, what did you do it now again?" She says, "You're not going to have him come to the office, are you?" Well, he couldn't make it out anywhere else, but so I had him come to the office. And boy, did I pray. I prayed, I said, "Lord, help me, because my wife will kill me if I really blow this, right?" So I wanted really to speak the truth in love. See, that's the main thing. It didn't start off very well, I'll just be honest with you. Because, you know, we had a lot of similarities in our growing up experience. But you know what? I was able to talk with him to a point where I was able to say, "You know what? What disgusted me the most about you is that I'm not going to tell you anything else that I've heard about you, about all these other people in the community. I'm going to tell you what I have seen in your life." And so I proceeded to tell him what I've just told you. And I said, "What does the word hypocrisy mean to you? Why do you use such language with other people to see that you're..." Well, he said that... Well, he got an arrow shot in his heart. And you know what? He did. He backed down because he saw where I was coming from. Because I said, "If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't even be talking about this." You understand that? if I could care less about him, I'd say, I said, I want you to know I am for you. I am on your side. We need to work together. But I'm telling you, every time I see you, something just rises up within me that just wants to make me throw up. I said it nice. I said it in love. Let me go. We're moving really too slow. Let's go a little fast. Just to suffice, after 2 hours, he allowed me to pray with him. And I'm believing, and I'm going to continue to believe, because I said, I pray for you at least 2 to 3 times every week. And I want you to know that I'm on your side, and I want you, you know what? He will never forget our encounter and our meeting. He will never forget it. But anyway, let's move on. Here, number one, here we need to, what is it? Make every effort to add to your faith. This scripture here in Peter, say every effort. Don't you love it when you get half-hearted people just giving half of what they, I mean, Brenda and I'm working on projects. I'm not your fix-it man, right? And I wanted to quit on this project that she had me do because it was one of those lists that kept getting this big, and I'm going, oh, man, I got to get to them because I'm not ever going to hear the end of this. So here I'm trying to screw in some screws, and I'm right-handed, and it's on the left hand, and it took me 20 minutes. I wanted to give up on getting that screw in because I couldn't get it. I tried to hammer it in. I tried to screw it in. I tried to do everything, and Brenda had to calm me down. Tom. Take some time out. Take some time out. Come back. So anyway, here's what we're talking about. We got to make every effort. Every effort. When you don't want to do something, you got to make every effort to get the job done and to do what God wants you to do. Make every effort. You know what? If we can go to the next screen. And then I think verse 9 is what I really want to hone in on here, if we can do that, in this scripture text. Because remember, it's talking about faith, and it's talking about, here it is. 1 Peter, is that the one I wanted? His divine power. Okay, keep going. All right, here's what I wanted. But whoever does not have them, all of the qualities that we just got started talking about, right? We talked about what the qualities were. If you don't have those qualities evident in your life, but whoever does not have these qualities is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Isn't that easy for us to do, to forget? It's easy for us to allow those sins to come in and invade us. Let me tell you, this whole scripture, right? I'm going to move to this quote. I said this quote to you before, but I love this quote that Bob Defin has. And this is the quote that he is given about this text. This text that we've just talked about, that Jesse read, is a discipleship text. It requires discipline and self-denial. It is a challenge to every believer for all the days of their life. No Christian ever works his way through this text to move on to other pursuits. This is a tough thing. We need to buckle in there, and we need to really understand what it is to make every effort to add to our faith these qualities. The next slide here is here's what the nitty-gritty is to actually becoming Christ-like. And how do I become Christ-like? How do I develop my character? Next slide. This is elements to becoming Christ-like. Now, we're going to talk about 7 or 8 of these little points here. And this is the meat and the crux of why we are here today. Because remember, we need to not only develop ourselves a Christian worldview, we need now to develop this character of Christ-like character, because we're going to see that our children watch us, and if we don't have our worldview in line, if we don't have our character line up with the scriptures, if we don't see these things, you know what? Our kids are going to say, I'm out of here. So long. See ya. I'm not coming back. So here's the thing. We're going to talk about some practical elements of incorporating into our life. This is how we become more Christ-like. Here's how we take on the attributes of Christ. You need, if you call yourself a believer, you need to find and attend regularly a life-giving, Spirit-led church. Hebrews says you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together because some have done it and they have come to their demise because they have forsaken coming together. That's why we come together. Now, would you get the same experience today if you were to stay home and watch it on the TV? Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to be too crass here. Do I extract some good things off the TV? And yeah, I do. But there's nothing that's going to replace me coming face to face, eye to eye, and touch to touch with people that believe like me, that we are brothers and sisters, that we have community together, that we can stand hand in hand together. You will want to take a public stand for Christ. Because Matthew 10 says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. But if you don't deny me, I will not deny you before my Father. Let me tell you, this past Tuesday had something very unique and wonderful and extraordinary happen to me. We had I had the mayor of Marysville, Dan Damon, call me up and said, Tom, could you meet me down at St. Clair River in the gazebo there in Marysville, right across from the Chrysler Park? I said, absolutely. Let me tell you, they just had three new council members, I guess, voted in to Marysville. This mayor gets up and cites all the different blessings and all the different good things that have happened to Marysville. And he has cited them because of prayer and because God is on our side, because we are standing here because of God and his blessings. And he invited some of the pastors to come and pray. And let me tell you, I was blown out. I'm always asking those political people to come to what we've got, you know, to have them come and experience some of the presence of the Lord. But this is the first time I've had a political man call me and ask me to come and pray and join him in prayer. And I thought, man alive, isn't that awesome? God is doing something special in our community, and it is moving, and we need to get in step with the Spirit, and we need not to forsake taking a public stand and saying, hey, as for me and my house, you know what we're going to do? We're serving the Lord. We love Jesus here, and we are not ashamed of it. For I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You'll want to participate in the sacraments of the church, water baptism, and communion. It's important. Let me tell you, if you haven't ever been water baptized, it's not magic. The water is not magic. It doesn't cleanse you from your sin. But I'm telling you what, when you are buried in the waters as Jesus was the example for us, there's something about taking a public stand saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are buried under those old, the old man is buried under the water, and you're raised up into newness of life, and there's something that's transforming about it, because you get out of there, it's like, whew, praise the Lord, I'm standing with the King, and I am a child of the King. And we need to understand that it's important, if you're not participating in communion or the Lord's Supper, right, that this is how we honor him and we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for us by shedding his blood, and his body was broken for us. And we are always in remembrance of his death. This is what the scripture says. All right, let's move on. Here's another. We need to establish a daily prayer life and Bible reading program in your life on a regular basis. Now, if, as I said, 9% of the Christians in the United States are biblically illiterate, How do you expect to become literate? You've got to read and study, because 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to develop this prayer life. Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean I walk around like this all the day? No, but sometimes I probably need to do that, I'll tell you. Need to shut my mouth and be on my knees and be on my face before God. But no, that means that I carry a constant dialogue with the Lord at all times. I'll say, God, I'll say, some people think that I'm swearing. I say, God, what? God, what, Jesus. And it's not that I'm swearing. I'm just asking him, say, Jesus, how do you want me to act? And this, sometimes I don't make it all. I just revealed to you. I don't always do what I should do. But you know what? We can get it right, right? If we're sensitive to living in the Spirit. So you don't need to take but 5 to 10 minutes to just say, Lord, like for example, the Matthew, right? He said, Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, just take that one little phrase. The names of God, Lord. Man, you're Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. You're Jehovah Nisi, you're my banner. You're Jehovah Shalom, you're my peace. You're Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. You start praying and you start thanking God for all the things that he's done for you. Then you can start to understand, this is how I can connect with him and he with me. And man, I'll be more sensitive to hear as I'm walking through my day as to what I need to be doing to help or to say or to touch or to encourage somebody along their path. So we need to be sensitive. And the only way that you can do this is to develop this constant prayer life and reading of Scripture. Now, reading of Scripture, if you read a little over 3 chapters a day, you can get through the Bible in 1 year. Isn't that something? Just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you can read. I'm going to ask this question, but don't raise your hand. How many in here have read the Bible through cover to cover? Don't raise your hand. Because I know that you would love to, because I did. I read the Bible through. But the thing about it is, have you even read the Bible? Do you even know what the Bible says? You've got to understand. I love, my wife has got to be the godliest woman on the face of the earth. I'm telling you, she is way more diligent in her studious nature than I am. I'm just being honest with you. This girl, she constantly reads the Bible through. She's probably read it over 50, maybe even more times through all the way. When I was attracted to her, even when she was in high school, she had this quiet time diary. And it was just like 3 to 5 verses. She would read, and then she would ask the question. The question was, what is the writer saying, and how does it apply to my life? This lady has written an exhaustive commentary on the Bible. It took her 7 years to do it, but she's got a commentary of her own personal documentation of what the Scriptures mean to her. That's powerful. She's much more spiritually inclined and attuned than I am. She's going, stop it, stop it. But you see, you know, there's Bible plans that are out there. There's no excuse for us, brothers and sisters, for us not to be in God's Word, to try and digest it and ask God to help us. All right, you'll want to confess and renounce any addictions, abuse, or habits in your past that might hinder your spiritual growth and reputation. This is a real powerful one. I'm telling you, I know so many people. I had a pornography problem. Did you know that? Back in my 20s. I am embarrassed and ashamed of it. I try to hide it and keep it hidden. But you know what? I got caught. Thank God I got caught. Because it brought it right home down to me. Who do I really think my Lord is? This stuff won't hurt me. Oh yeah? These private little secret little sins that people get themselves into. You wonder why we live in the sin-sick world that we are now. It's because people are just hiding things. You need to confess. I mean, Ephesians 5 says, expose every unfruitful work of darkness so that when the light comes on it, it shines it and it makes the darkness disappear. You need to confess. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, that you need to confess your sin one to another so that you may be healed. The reason why people aren't healed, they're not confessing their sins to one another. They're just confessing to God, oh, Jesus, take this away, take this away. And he does, but you get back into it again. There's a lot of great groups that are out here today. CR, Celebrate Recovery. There's a lot of good 12-step groups that are out here. We got Rich and his wife here, Armstrong. They've done a phenomenal job with that. There's AA groups. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your faithfulness in that area to help people get delivered from this stuff that just ensnares them and wants to hinder their spiritual growth and their reputation. There's a lot of help groups that are out here to help people to walk in freedom, to develop the character of Christ in their life so that when they walk, people will know, wow, what's different with you? You can tell them because you'll be glowing with the presence of the Lord. Let's move on. You'll want to seek to be filled or baptized in the Spirit to get power to live free from sin. Acts 1 talks about that you were baptized with John's baptism, but there's going to be another baptism that's coming up, and it is going to be you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you to give you freedom. In Romans chapter 12, it says this. It says that he has set us free. The Spirit has set us free from the power of sin and death. You don't have to sin anymore. It's the power of the Spirit of God that comes upon you that you can say no to sin and yes to the Lord. And you don't have to bow your knee to anybody. I remember talking to this individual. He says, well, I got to talk like that because I got to relate with these people to how they are. I said, give me a break. You don't have to get on their level to relate with people. Have them come on your level a little bit and encourage them. I'm not talking about, you know, just smushing the gospel down people's face and their throats. I'm talking about just getting in the presence and helping people to understand. All right. You need to learn the principles of giving your time, talent, and money. So important. This is literally, it says here, Colossians 4, 5. You need to understand that time is a commodity. It's very precious. We only have 24 hours in the day. But it says this. Behave wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Isn't that something? Making the best use of my time. I'm going to spend my time wisely so that I can get the most out of my time, help the most people I can help, and see how much that I can accomplish for him. Your talent, Romans 12, 3 through 8. God has given gifts to every one of us. Did you know that? He has given us talents, abilities to know how to really to help other people. He's given people mercy, motivated gifts. He's given people leadership gifts. He's given people teachers gifts. He's given people all. There are seven gifts that God has given to all men. And you need to discover what the gift that God has given to you. And once you discover that gift, you need to give yourself fully to that gift so you can help other people. My gift is the gift of encouragement. I love people. I love to encourage people. I love to be with people. Brenda's the exact opposite of me. She loves to teach. She loves to serve. She loves to give. And, you know, these opposites, we're going to be talking about that a little bit next week. We're going to talk about this covenant relationship with man and wife next week. But you know what? Opposites do attract. But you know what? She does paper, I do people, right? We're this together type of a couple. But we got to understand our gifts and give ourselves to that gift so we can accomplish the most that we can do. Do you say amen to that? And money. You know what? We need to know how to give, because this is the law of reciprocity in 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is, if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. This is the law. This is a law. And this money that we have, it's not ours. He's given it to us to be a blessing, to be generous, to help people. Don't hoard it. So you need to understand these principles of time, talent, and your treasure. All right, number three here. We're going to close up real quick here. Actually, we talked a little bit about this. Trust and obey the scriptures. Obviously, Joshua 1:7 says, obey all the laws. Do not turn to the right or to the left. And if you do, if you don't turn to the right or left, you will obtain success in everything that you do. Exodus, obviously 20, the Ten Commandments. Does anybody know the Ten Commandments? Can anybody tell me what the Ten Commandments are? I mean, it would be very interesting to take a little test here to see how many of you actually know the Ten Commandments. But one of the commandments here, I love this, in verse, where's it at? It's this third one. Oh, no, it's the, it's the third one. It says that, you know, that we're not cursing, that he doesn't, that we shouldn't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And it goes on to say this, that if we obey these laws and diligently give ourselves to them, that the blessings of the Lord will go to generations down the road from us. How do you hand down the legacy of faith? Is when you keep the law of the Lord and it goes from generation to generation to generation. It says the sins of the iniquity of your fathers will go to the third and fourth generation. But it says, but the, those who walk obedient to his word, 1,000 generations that they will be blessed, your seed will be blessed. When you start understanding these principles, you'll start seeing, wow, I can hand this legacy down if I follow and I do what God tells me to do. Pretty simple. Anyway, let's wrap it up. Last slide here. Deuteronomy 6:2. Says, you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. And Jesus said this in John 13, I have set you an example that you should do what I have done for you. So if you do so, you will be blessed. This is how we leave this legacy. This is how we understand of how we pass this legacy of faith down from generation to generation. By becoming more Christ-like. By developing and incorporating the character of Christ within us. And it's a daily, it's not a sprint, people. It's a marathon. We're in the process on this marathon of going together. And it doesn't happen overnight. But I'll tell you, with exercise, how many, you know, well, we need to exercise at least 30 minutes a day. You know, you got to get your, we can do this in the natural. Why don't we exercise in the spirit? We need to exercise our spiritual being. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to do what God has told us to do. And then we'll have success. That's true success. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know I've had a lot of things shared this morning. But Lord, you know where each one of us are at today. We have simply given some type of guidance and direction in the Word of God to help us to be more effective servants of the Most High. And while we're here in just the stillness of this moment, how many of you here today would say, you know what, Tom? I need to begin to develop a regular pattern, or I need to improve in my pattern of developing the character of Christ within me. Raise your hand. If you're here, all right, there's hands are going all over. Father, in Jesus' name, you see where the hearts of my brothers and sisters are today. We've talked about a very elementary message to help us to become more like you. And we realize that it's not by our might or power. We can't force ourselves to make this happen. It's only by your Spirit that can help us. So Lord, with lifted hands, let's just lift our hands. Let's just stand before him. Why don't we just do that? Let's just lift our hands before him this morning. Lord, as a sign of our surrender to you, we simply raise our hands to you asking for your help. We want to be better soldiers of Jesus Christ. We want to be more effective soldiers. We want you to sharpen the blade. Iron sharpens iron. So, Father, sharpen our blades here this morning so that this week will be a powerful week, an effective week of being a witness for you. You said that you would send the Holy Spirit upon us to give us power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So that's part of the power that you've given us. I pray, Lord, that we would put that into practice. And if there's some people that come across our path this week that need an arm around them, that need a word of encouragement, that need to hear some truth, I pray that you'd give us the boldness that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we would not be ashamed of what we believe. We would not be intimidated by the politically correct status quo of this world. But we would take a stand in Jesus' name and say, Lord, we love you. Give us the words not to condemn people, but to love people into the kingdom. For such a time as this. Lord, you've only placed us on this earth for a short period, each one of us. And God, we want to be faithful and true. We want to finish well. That he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. God, help us. We want to be more like you, Jesus. So we're just submitting ourselves to you this morning, surrendering, saying, God, have your way in our lives. And we pray this in the most powerful name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord.